We heard from the book of the prophet Sirach, before us are life and death, good and evil. Whichever we choose shall be given us. God does not command anyone to act unjustly, and to none of us does he give the license, that is, the permission or freedom to sin. There's an old episode of the Andy Griffith Show where Andy's son Opie is swindled out of his cat pistol for some licorice seeds, which of course don't exist. And when he finds that he's been taken advantage of, he does the same thing to another boy, trading his licorice seeds for a pair of roller skates. His father Andy tells him how wrong this is and reminds him of the golden rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. He demands that Opie makes things right by returning the roller skates. But earlier in the episode, the town council votes to get rid of a broken-down old Civil War cannon that's been sitting in the town square, and the mayor appoints Andy to sell it. After several failed attempts to do so, an out-of-town antique dealer happens to come into Mayberry, and now Andy takes advantage of the situation and the antique dealer by making up all kinds of false stories about the cannon's history. The dealer then agrees to buy the cannon for a large sum of money and goes to the bank to make out a certified check. Meanwhile, Opie notices this. He witnesses his father's dishonesty, and he hears the lies that he told and confronts Andy about this. At first, Andy tries his best to justify his wrongdoing and explain why it wasn't wrong. In the end, he realizes that he's caught in the web. He then admits his fault and his guilt. He sells the cannon at a fair and honest price, and as with most of the Andy Griffith Show episodes, it ends on a positive note. Now, that's television, and we live in reality. But Andy's behavior does indeed reflect our own reality. I heard something else this week, that for the first time in America's history, we have reached a point where church membership in our country has dropped below 50%. That's a frightening statistic, that church membership has dropped below 50%. It tells us that half of our nation's population belongs to no church. Religion is disappearing fast among those under 40 years of age. That's another statistic, which means that most of the population who are raising young children and teenagers have no religious affiliation whatsoever and do not attend church regularly, if even at all. That is also quite frightening. Our country is slowly moving away from Christianity. It's an alarming rate when you think about it, but it's moving generation by generation away from the Christian faith. Now, some will say, no, they still believe in God, just not the church. Well, leaving the church is the first step. You leave the church first, and then later you abandon God, and then what do you have? You embrace the devil. That's how it's always happened. And that phrase, that they still believe in God, just not the church, is kind of a cop-out. After all, what does Jesus tell us the church is? Who are we truly? The church is the body of Christ on earth. We are his presence in the world. We are his heart. We are his hands. We are his mouth. And we are here to show his love, to show his work, to do his work, and to speak his word to all persons everywhere. And we're failing. We have failed Christ. And because we have failed, our country and our world is spinning out of control. The saddest part is we know that we failed. We see it all around us. We know that we failed, and instead of admitting that we've done wrong, what do? Like Sheriff Taylor and his cannon, we have excuses and try to justify our wrongdoing, giving a horrible example to our children. And this, above anything else, is why they're leaving the church behind, why they're leaving Christ behind, is because of the example of those who claim to be Christians but do not exhibit the Christian faith and don't show the Christian life. We heard Jesus tell us something in the Gospels that should make us think. He says, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and by his word and example teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That's what we're all called to do. I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses the scribes and the Pharisees, the well-known hypocrites of his day, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus sets the bar pretty high, and rightfully so, because we're called to be saints. Jesus tells us in the gospel, for example, to have charity and to call no one names like fool or idiot, or sometimes we call people trash sometimes. All those things that you and I say about one another in judgment or in anger or in ridicule. Jesus tells us to forget, to seek forgiveness and reconciliation with those that we have offended or injured, and those who offended or injured us. He tells us never to be so proud as to refuse to apologize, even if we happen to be in the right. He tells us to watch how we carry ourselves, how we dress. He tells us to be modest and to watch our eyes, not making ourselves or anyone else an object for lust. He tells us to remove ourselves from anything or anyone that we know is going to put us in an occasion of sin. He tells us to keep marriage and family sacred and intact. He tells us to keep intimacy where it belongs, between a husband and wife in the privacy of their own home. He teaches us that if a marriage must come to an end because of serious reasons, like abuse or cruelty or dishonesty, then to seek an annulment before attempting remarriage. Watch your words. Watch what you say. Watch how you say it. Speak no vulgarities. Be honest and tell the truth with humility and compassion. These things our Savior tells us. Do not swear or lie. Do not simply put on a good appearance, but instead be truly good. Not a hypocrite. Always practice the things that you preach and believe. Brothers and sisters, you and I are being watched. We're being watched every day by all kinds of people. But most importantly, we're being watched by our children and by God Himself. So while God certainly knows the depths of our hearts and our souls, and He knows our thoughts, and other people do not, still we try to justify our wrongdoing before human beings. We do it all the time. We make up all kinds of reasons to justify our behavior, and we think ourselves smart because we can do so. That's the wisdom of this age that Jesus talks about. But God knows the truth. We can lie to others, we can lie to ourselves, we can never lie to God. And so the question remains, what kind of example are we giving? And what is the legacy of those called Christians but do not follow Christ? The legacy we leave behind is a world devoid of Christianity. If we claim ourselves to be Christians but do not exactly exhibit Christ, we leave behind us a world devoid of Christianity. As Sirach tells us, if you choose, by the grace of God, you can keep the commandments, and they will save you, and they will save our nation. If you trust in God, which we should, we shall live. It's only by God's grace that we can do all the things that He tells us to do. Pray. Nothing more important than honest prayer. We can do all things in Christ who strengthens us, but He can only strengthen us if we give ourselves in prayer. Come to Mass and pay attention to God's Word. Study it. Practice it. Receive the sacraments properly and worthily. Do everything in Christ's name, and do it for love of Him and love of those around you. In everything, give a good example, in particular to your children and your grandchildren, and mean it from the heart. As Jesus reminds us, do good to others, forgive your enemies and pray for them. We know that the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him. Now, this fear of ours should always be evident. A fear of eternal damnation, a fear of divine punishment, a fear of a loss of salvation. But this fear should move us not just to remain in fear, but move us to wisdom. Wisdom to know the Lord more perfectly, to seek His will and to do His will and follow His commandments and serve Him without fail. Such wisdom leads us to love. And in that love, we find joy. We find joy in our obedience, our loving obedience to God. We find freedom in serving Him in love. We find freedom and peace in following Him in love. We all know this world alone, the weakness of the human heart, the temptations of the evil one, none of these things bring peace or freedom or joy. We realize that a moment of pleasure can end up in a lifetime and then an eternity of torture. But God has a different plan. Eye has not seen, Ear has not heard. It has not even entered into the hearts of human beings, not even a little, what God has prepared for those who love him and those who serve him in love. May we never, ever, willfully give ourselves up to disobedience, or worse, teach our children to do the same, to be disobedient, and in selfishness to attempt to justify our errant ways. Instead, brothers and sisters, may we ask the Lord Jesus to open up our eyes to the wonders of his law, to observe his law in love, to walk in his ways. We're so eager to encourage our children and everybody else in too many ways that lead them away from Christ. Instead, may we all, by word, by example, by our whole being, encourage others and one another to love and follow Christ and to receive the gift of eternal life he promises.